To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Airo will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Good morning! Good afternoon, Richmond! It's 12 noon and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM here on a Monday, December 8th. It is a snow day here in Richmond. Be careful if you're driving around listening to AWOD Radio here on The Fan. I always hate driving in snowy conditions. Not because of myself, because you have to be careful of others as well. This is Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. Richmond's home for the 804 high school football broadcast game of the week. College Hokies, Hoos, and the VCU Rams, the Washington Commanders in the NFL. And here on a Monday, December 8th, we are filled with sports topics to debate. Massive sports topics to debate. Phone lines are going to be open throughout the show. 833-804-0910. Let us help you get through this snow day. You think the college football playoff bracket is wrong? I'll tell you why they got it right. 833-804-0910. You think Jaden Daniels getting hurt means he shouldn't play the rest of the season? I'll tell you why you're wrong. 833-804-0910. We got a lot to get to on the show today. The playoff picture, the college football playoff bracket, college hoops, and more. Give us your thoughts, 833-804-0910, or tweet us at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air, but you know how we like to start the show every day, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up that sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K, this one.
The sports app.
Look, that Steelers-Ravens game was a banger, but I was this close to picking Bengals-Bills as the certified NFL game of the week. And looking back on it, I think that was the NFL game of the week. The Bengals took an early advantage with Joe Burrow back in the lineup. They went to the halftime locker room up 21-11. But back came the Buffalo Bills in a crazy fourth quarter that had Joe Burrow throw two interceptions. Pretty much back-to-back. This one, a pick six, gives the Bills the lead for good.
From the 33.
Oh, my goodness! Look out here! Christian Benford, gift-wrapped the other way! Touchdown! What just happened?
Let's go to Tennessee against Cleveland. You had the number one overall pick against one of the most exciting quarterbacks in Shedeur Sanders against Cam Ward. This was a pretty good matchup here. If you like defense, there were quite a few number of turnovers in this one. Tony Pollard got going for the Titans, 161 yards on the ground and two touchdowns, but it was the Browns coming back late. They get into the end zone in the fourth quarter with a Shedeur Sanders 7-yard rush. All of a sudden, it's a ball game. Then Shedeur finds Harold Franklin with a minute left. to get it to 31-29. A two-point conversion would tie the game. Let's take a listen to the call.
Sanders fires for the end zone. Open! Leaping up and grabbing it!
Great throw, great catch. One-on-one coverage. What do we say? You give him man-to-man, he's going to beat you. That's on Woods. High point the ball. Strong hands. Beautiful throw, and there is no defense for the perfect throw.
No Shador. It's Judkins on the direct snap. He was supposed to pitch it, but didn't and couldn't. And now he's going to have to throw it, and he does, and it's incomplete.
Kind of the theme of the weekend, trick plays being used in a losing effort. How about the New Orleans Saints? They have been left for dead this season. Not many picked the Saints in this one against a Bucs team that was looking forward to getting a playoff berth once again. It is Tyler Shook giving the Saints the win as he uses legs to power the Saints to a 24-20 victory.
The new right tackle is Sherman. Shook. Oh, here they come up the middle. He got away from one. He got away from Vea. Here he goes.
No
galloping
way.
Touchdown.
The 25-30-yard line. Here he's going low.
Over the pylon.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
That's easy.
In.
That's
sure.
easy in there.
Logan Hall was
That's
coming up the middle.
That's a quick confirmation.
How about Vita Vea? He got by two
Good
sure
win
tacklers.
For the Saints. Over to the Steelers-Ravens. And this game felt like it was for the division. Aaron Rodgers finds DK Metcalf over and over again. As he got going, the Steelers are able to outlast the Ravens with a defensive stop. They take a division lead with a sack of Lamar Jackson.
Saying, get back, get back, get back, get back.
Here you
take
go.
Take the outcut right away. They're taking
7 seconds. They're running after him, and they get to him. They end the game with a sack. Highsmith ends it.
Packers trying to come back in that division against the Chicago Bears. How about that one? I thought that was a thrilling game, and the Packers pick off Caleb Williams in the end zone to end this one, moving them to 9-3-1 on the season. Let's take a listen.
On the fake, Williams looking, throwing, it is intercepted! Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win it!
With Washington, it was just a rotten game from the start. One of the worst losses of the Dan Quinn era. One of the worst losses in the last decade when you consider the injuries as well. Zach Ertz carted off the field. We all believe that it will be lost for the season, maybe the last play of his entire career, as Jaden Daniels made his return, but it was Jaden Daniels making a mistake, and then Jaden Daniels trying to track down this play. He injures himself. Let's take a listen to the call.
Here's the snap. He throws it quickly. It's popped up in the air and caught by Andrew Van Ginkle, who's streaking down the sideline. 50, 45, 40. Terry runs him down and brings him down at the 29-yard line. But it is an interception for Minnesota. And Jaden Daniels was down on the field at the 47-yard line. And fortunately, he popped up immediately, runs over to the bench. They're going to take a look at him. But an interception for Van Ginkle gives Minnesota the ball. And a stop on fourth down. They're in Washington territory.
And that was the last time you would see Jaden Daniels in a 31-0 ass-whooping that the Commanders took. It was embarrassing. We'll be talking about it throughout the show today. Luckily, the Caps had a good performance. Let's move over to the NHL on the sports app. So the Washington Capitals here in the month of December have been terrific. They actually have a 10-game streak in which they've scored a point in each and every game. They did lose one over the weekend in a shootout, but we get to yesterday's action, and it was Thompson earning his 100th win as a Washington Capital netminder. And it was Washington 2-0. Let's take a listen. Washington takes a 1-0 lead.
Puck coming toward the blue line. Villiers here is a puck.
Fired, they score! Jacob Chychrun, as a puck comes to him in a high slot, he rips it. Top right corner, 50 seconds into this second period. It's 1-0, Washington.
Protoss would score, making it 2-0, and that is your final score. Caps will be back on the ice on Thursday. Over to college football on the sports app. All right, after this weekend's action, the college football playoffs are set. We'll get to how the committee put things together in a little bit, but let's recap the action from the weekend, starting with Ohio State and their matchup with Indiana. They get down the field and have a chance to tie it. Let's take a listen to the call.
No good! He missed!
Let's get the final call from the SEC title game. A blowout win for Georgia. Does that prevent Alabama from getting into the college football playoffs?
Rabun County High School. He retired his jersey earlier this year. And now he's going to be an SEC champion quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs. The Dogs move on to the playoff. Exclamation point to their SEC campaign.
The Dogs were barking at home team grill when I watched that one. Georgia wins. They're the 3 seed. Alabama still in as the 9 seed. Here's the final call, the final play of the ACC title game. A heartbreaking defeat for the Hoos.
Another fourth down conversion there. Fourth, they go to a trick play. Taylor threw it back to Morris. It is intercepted! Intercepted by Luke Murgaugh! And Duke has won the ACC!
And with the Duke victory, the Dukes of James Madison are dancing. Indiana the 1 seed. Ohio State the 2. Georgia the 3. Texas Tech takes down BYU, eliminates BYU, and secures a first-round bye. Oregon is the 5 seed, and they will host James Madison. Oklahoma is the 8 seed. They will host Alabama. Ole Miss is the 6 seed. They will host Tulane, as yes, two G5 schools get in, and then Texas A&M will host Miami, who did go head-to-head with Notre Dame and beat them, and that had to have been the committee's final factor into this decision here. Let's take a listen to Paul Feinbaum on Notre Dame missing the CFP.
They got it right. And the crying from Notre Dame is quite frankly embarrassing. Everything Notre Dame has done since the moment this was announced is really beneath a great institution that should stand for principles. Instead, they cried, they didn't get their way, and then they said, we're going home, we're taking our ball like a five-year-old on the playground by not going to a bowl game.
Well,
why
said,
did they get it
ball.
Right, Greeny? Because Notre Dame had very little to show on its resume. They're not in a conference. That's their own fault. They think they're too good to be in a conference. And had they joined the ACC, which they, by the way, are a member of in every other sport, they would have played for the ACC championship game. They would be in the playoff today, and they wouldn't be a bunch of sniveling crybabies and really, quite frankly, in my opinion, the laughingstock of college football. Alabama, what did it do? It beat four
I love
top,
that from Feinbaum.
Teams.
Look, I'm old enough to remember the days in which you could not lose a game to get to the BCS championship. All right, then we expand it. All right, now you can't lose more than one. All right, now it's 12 teams. Well, you can't lose more than two. Alabama has 3 losses, but it was in the damn SEC title game, the SEC where it matters more, the SEC where that's the best conference in football. There's no reason in hell that Alabama should have been eliminated or even slid down a spot for losing an SEC title game. They earned their spot in the SEC title game, and that was their opportunity to earn even a bye in the college football playoffs. But they absolutely deserved to be included. I'll tell you why the committee got it right here later on the show today on University Drive. Let's close out with College Hoops on the Sports app. Some good college basketball over the weekend. We had the Hokies. Yeah, the Hokies took down George Mason. Big win for the Hokies. They needed that one after losing to VCU in the Bahamas in the Battle for Atlantis. Top 25 matchups yesterday. You had North Carolina take down Georgetown, 81-61. The Hoyas are having a good start to the season. They are now 6-3 in year two or three with Ed Cooley. UNC, they've got some of the most exciting freshmen in the country, and they are now off to an 8-1 start. Kansas took down Missouri. We'll have to ask Michael Phillips about that rivalry in college hoops. But let's get to VCU basketball, who won at the Stew on Friday night in front of a sold-out crowd against a decent opponent in Samford. But really, the Rams were so good the entire second half of that one. They advance, and they get the easy win, it turns out. But how about Barry Evans? He follows his own miss and puts it back. Let's take a listen to the call.
He lets his team scamper ahead, and he starts the offense here. Hill into Barry Evans. Look out. Evans inside. Shot no good. Gets his own rebound. Followed too strong. Gets a rebound again. This one no good again. For the fourth time, Barry Evans has got it.
How about Keyshawn Mitchell playing extended minutes while Christian Furman is still on a personal leave of absence? He gives the Rams a lead on his big three.
Evans baseline drive. Cut off. Evans inside. To Mitchell. Mitchell, a three for the lead. Yes, sir!
Mitchell was trailing for most of the first half. A 9-0 run before the break gives them a 34-31 lead at the half, and then they would go on to destroy Samford in the second half. That second half total was 49-26, giving VCU the win 83-57. Jadrian Tracy finishes strong. Let's take a listen to the call.
Over to Norris. Norris shoots a three from the wing, and that's short, no good. Rebound, Keyshawn Mitchell. Up to Justin Tiller. Jordan Tiller, a lob, and this is Bam Tracy with the alley-oop. Oh, what an exclamation part for Tracy, who's got 10.
But really, the story of the game was the bench unit for the VCU Rams that gave them a ton of production. But the leading scorer for both teams in this one was Terrence Hill Jr. The thrill of T. Hill from long range this year has been elite. He is above 50% from three. Above 50% from three. He hit 5 of 9 for a career-high 22 points in the 83-57 win for the Rams, who will stay at home, and they'll face off against New Mexico this Wednesday. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Debo goes in motion. McNichols is the back. Noah Brown to the right. Terry's outside the numbers to the left on a 3rd and 13. Daniels points to his helmet, signals he wants the snap. Here it comes. Another blitz coming. He gets rid of it quickly to Debo. Blocks on the edge. Cuts between two of them and gets inside the 20. First down, Washington.
Great play call and great blocking down the field on the perimeter. Get the ball into Debo's hand and let him use his great physicality. But he picks up two nice blocks, one by Ertz and another nice block by Terry McLaurin on the perimeter.
Welcome back. That was Bram Weinstein, London Fletcher on the call. You can hear every game right here, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. One of four catches for Debo Samuel. That on a drive that got Washington as close as you can get without scoring. And the entire game, Washington went without scoring. A 31-0 blowout in Minnesota to the Vikings. Time for the Commander's Corner here on AWOD Radio. As I give you my initial reaction, if you want to chime in, it's easy. 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910 here on the Commander's Corner. I'm feeling terrible after another loss. This makes it 8 in a row for Washington. You know, this week we talked about how excited we were for Jaden Daniels to return. The last time he came back, right, on the road, we played the Chargers and we blew them out 27-10. That was the last win this team had back in October. It has been a long 2 month stretch for Washington, but there was just so much excitement because of the way they played on Sunday night against the Broncos, an inspired performance, and then getting your quarterback back against a team that was 4-8. Like, the question this week wasn't Washington go in and put up a fight. We thought we were going to win and win easily. Oh my goodness, boy, were we embarrassed in this one. I feel awful. Like, this was the worst loss of the Dan Quinn era in terms of how I felt watching the game and how I feel right now. I felt ill. I felt physically ill watching that game. I said I wanted to make myself throw up. That's how disgusting it was. And of course, Jaden Daniels gets hurt again because that's how this season has played. And of course, Zach Ertz is hurt and now out for season because that's how this season has played out. Just completely derailed by injuries. But that loss made me feel like Dan Quinn has lost the locker room. I mean, what the hell was that? What were you guys watching? I was watching a train wreck live on national television. There was zero effort. There was zero execution. It was a freaking butt-whooping by a bad team in the Minnesota Vikings. I feel awful today. This is the worst Misery Monday of the season. Just typical of this season where we've gotten everybody's best shot, right? Minnesota just lost to Seattle 26-0. They were out for revenge. Like, they were out for making their coach look good. They got up for this game. Washington didn't even show up. It was a joke of a performance. I'm so upset today. That was the most upsetting loss of the season. So many factors. Minnesota's not very good. I know they're not very good. I know J.J. McCarthy's not nearly as good as Jaden or Bo Nix or Caleb Williams. He looked like the best quarterback in that class. And we made them look like freaking Super Bowl contenders for their fifth win of the season. It was the terrible game that got worse and worse and worse as it went on. I hated it. I'm sick. And I'm still a Dan Quinn guy, and I will still support him. But that is absolutely one of those games that leads to a coach getting fired. That is one of those games where there's just no way that Coach Dan Quinn sits down in his office today and doesn't feel like the seat is heating up on him. Especially in the snow, right? You got heat warmers on that seat now. A loss like that leads to coaches getting fired. They really, really better have a better performance in the divisional games coming up. Or I think DQ is cooked. I really do. That team looked lifeless. I am a fan of Dan Quinn. I don't want him to be fired. But if I put myself in Adam Peters' shoes, if the performances don't get better starting this weekend, he's gone. That looked like a coach that lost the locker room. There was no effort. Suddenly, the theme of the Dan Quinn era has flipped from us blowing teams out to getting blown out every single week. That was such an ugly loss where it felt like nobody showed up. Such a shame. Coming into that game, so much excitement. Jaden's back. The offensive line is healthy and coming off of their best game they played all season. Terry's back. Scary Terry's back. We're going to get Noah Brown out there. Deebo Samuel, Treylon Burks. I watched a bunch of losers yesterday. Last week in the game against the Broncos, I asked everybody, what do you guys want to see? I got everything that I was looking for. I got effort. I got fight. I got a great football game. This was everything I was hoping not to see. We got our asses beat. Now, we are back at ground zero, starting from the bottom after that blowout defeat. And oh yeah, there are now more questions than answers. Everybody is asking the same question today. Is Jaden Daniels injury prone? I'm asking, is Jaden Daniels okay? Should Jaden Daniels have even been playing in that game if it took him falling on the elbow once for him to re-injure it and have to come out? Has Jaden Daniels regressed with the way he played? It sure looked like it. That was the worst performance of his career in my mind. He couldn't do anything in terms of hitting receivers on time. It looked like week one again from last season against the Bucks. He looked like a rookie in his first NFL game ever. And he didn't know where the blitzes were coming from. And neither did his offensive line. And there were zero blitz beaters all game long. Why does it look like this team has taken such a step back? The worst performance of the Dan Quinn era, and it's not even close. Jane Daniels' final numbers, 9 of 20, below 50% completion percentage, not even 100 yards, 78 yards passing, the interception, a sack, and a QBR of 11. This whole segment and this show should not be about Jaden's play or about Jaden's injury, but a team that looked lifeless, right? Because I've got my concerns about Jaden for sure. He didn't look good. It looked like he was more interested in getting his body healthy than getting his mind right, because I don't know what game plan they talked about. They didn't execute it at all. Everybody knows this is a Vikings defense that's good. Everybody that knows anything about football knows that Brian Flores, their defense coordinator, likes to blitz over and over again. And we never had a blitz beater ready? Never the whole game? That was Cliff Kingsbury's worst game as a play caller, after he had maybe his best game the week before, in which they got the ball out with the quickness. Where was that? Was that Jaden Daniels not understanding? Was it Marcus Mariota as well? Because he couldn't even get the ball out. We kind of ran the ball effectively, but did nothing with the passing game. Less than 100 yards of passing in four quarters? It's embarrassing. And don't get me started on a defense that gave up third down conversion after third down conversion after third down conversion. The Vikings walked the ball up and down the field. Why? Because they were successful on first down, they were successful on second down, and for most of the game they were nearly perfect on third down and were perfect on fourth down in this one. They had 313 yards, 61 plays, and absolutely dominated the time of possession 35-25. And it was probably worse than that. They gave us some time at the end of the game when nothing mattered. Because this game was over at halftime, basically. Because Washington didn't show up. The Vikings went right down the field. And that's the other part about this game that's so frustrating, is it was a setback. It was a step back for the entire team. Offense, defense, and special teams. But the defense was awful. The defense made J.J. McCarthy look like Sam Darnold. I mean, he threw it to open receivers after open receivers. Nothing worked that we did. We could not pressure him at all. We could not stop the run. I mean, it was just an awful performance. I'm not advocating for Dan Quinn to get fired, but in previous seasons, I've seen it firsthand. That's the kind of performance that gets a head coach fired. 8 losses in a row. This was the worst of all of them. Where do we go from here? Will Jaden come back against the Giants? Should Jaden come back against the Giants? Should Dan Quinn be the head coach moving forward? Is Cliff Kingsbury still the right guy at offense coordinator? I mean, they had nothing. Like, I get it. Both teams really had nothing to play for except for pride, and we left our pride in Ashburn. That's how I feel today. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Third down and 10. Snap to McCarthy. Steps back. Pressure coming from Jerod Payne.
Oh, cannot get away from Von Miller. Sacked all the way back at the 19-yard line.
And they got it actually with the four-man rush, but they ran a twist game, a line stunt, and they're able to get to the quarterback. Actually, Jerod Payne did a nice job of applying initial pressure and really running McCarthy into the sack by Von Miller.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So look, the defense did get home a few times. That was one clip right there of Von Miller getting a sack of J.J. McCarthy. Four sacks of J.J. McCarthy on the game, but they just could not stop him from completing passes over and over again. Three touchdowns through the air, a touchdown on the ground from Jordan Mason, and a 31-0 victory for the Vikings here on a misery Monday, December 8th. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it is Commanders reporter David Harrison. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I think we'll start with this. More disappointed in the offense or the defense?
I think I'm more disappointed in the offense, you know, because having all those guys back on the field for the first time since week two, like, I think the excitement level was high. The expectations obviously needed to be a little bit tempered. Like, I felt like the spread was pretty good. You know, it wasn't really a big spread going either direction all through the week, even though it moved. I felt like, you know, probably a competitive game. You know, the season is what it is. But with Terry back on the field, obviously a big difference maker. Second week coming back from the injury, no setbacks, should have been really, you know, fun. Noah Brown and kind of what he's able to do, and then Jaden. And just wanted to see them play with more confidence. You know, play on schedule a little bit better. And then, you know, there was still this kind of hope that maybe, you know, with the recent success they'd had, you know, establishing the run and kind of playing off of that, that maybe that lesson, you know, I don't know if lesson's the right word, but that basically it finally sunk in that, you know, this team needs to rely on the run game, you know, more than maybe it has in the past to be fully successful. But, you know, unfortunately, basically every single one of those things didn't come to fruition. And so I think just for that reason, while obviously the entire thing is a letdown, I think that's where I would be most let down.
What was the talk there in Minnesota about Jaden Daniels' injury?
I mean, I think, you know, I can't speak for everybody, obviously, but I would be surprised if anybody truly believes that he should be back on the field again this year. I know that, you know, from the sounds of, you know, Dan Quinn talking after the game, it probably sounds like you're going to anyway, and that's fine. That's, you know, there's no reason the team should be making their decisions based off of media or even fan opinion. But I think pretty much everybody's kind of on board now with, like, hey, look, you know, the risk is not worth the reward at this point in time, and just try to figure out other things and move forward. But, you know, I think the biggest concern coming out of Minnesota is, and maybe even just a wonder, I don't know if I even put it as a concern, but, you know, was he really healthy enough to be out there in the first place? I mean, Dan, you know, Dan has a great reputation, and I don't want to necessarily question that off of, you know, a lack of detailed medical knowledge, but even before the injury happened, like, there were just moments on the field where Jaden kind of, like, looked to be, like, grabbing the elbow, didn't seem comfortable with it. And it just kind of made you, you know, have those thoughts to begin with of, you know, is he really, you know, should he really be out there? And then he lands on it. And, you know, it was a hard landing, don't get me wrong, but it's also the type of landing that we see NFL players take every week. You know, and we've seen Jaden take hits like that and take, you know, falls like that. And to the extent of the amount of pain that it obviously put him in, it just brings up the question of whether he should have been in there, you know, in the first place. There's healthy enough to play, and there's healthy. And I think that, you know, I even go back to, I interviewed Joe Theismann out in Spain while we were there and asked him, you know, the Jaden Daniels question, because obviously we were all talking about it. And even he said, like, look, Jaden's got to get back on the horse. Whether it's for 5 seconds, 5 minutes, or 5 days, he's got to get back on the horse. He's like, however, only when he's fully healthy again. Like, that was the caveat. I think that's the caveat everybody had, is only when he's fully healthy again. It didn't look like he was fully healthy. It just looked like he was healthy enough to go out there and play. And I think that's where, you know, the public perception and the team decision is probably going to disconnect.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good look for the team, for sure, because it was not that hard of a fall, and it was on a weird fluke play where he had already thrown the interception. He probably shouldn't have even chased down that guy, but he's a team player kind of person, so it makes sense. But you're right. I mean, if it's that small of a hit that knocks him out, maybe he shouldn't have been playing. But I think the counter is the way he played is the argument for why he needed to play. This kid needs reps. He absolutely needs reps, and he looked rusty and like a rookie again.
Yeah, so it's a great point that you make there, and it's actually the exact point that I was making before this game as well. I'm actually going to dive into this really deep on Locked On Commanders. I'm literally working on my next episode as we speak, is, you know, developing the outline, and that's going to be the conversation: is reps and muscle memory and the risk versus reward. Because I'll just, you know, I'll give you the short version here, obviously. But the muscle memory goes two ways. We oftentimes talk about muscle memory as a positive only, but there's muscle memory as a negative, as well. And like I said, I don't want to get too deep into it, but like, we develop negative muscle memory and we develop positive muscle memory. And right now the question has to be, do you have time to really establish positive muscle memory moving into the off season with Jaden? And also to counteract some of the negative muscle memory that's already taken place that you see evident last night and also on tape. And even if you think you might have just enough time, because you definitely don't think you have plenty of time, right? The only thing you can really come away with is we have just enough time to build some positive muscle memory going into the off season. The question then is, what's the expiration date on that growth that you do get? And is it worth the risk? So I'm going to dive into that, like I said, you know, my either tonight or tomorrow morning publication of Locked On Commanders, but that's the relatively short version.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be risk for every single player. It's a violent sport, and he needs to do a better job of protecting himself. There was a play in which he dove kind of head forward. I hated that when I was watching it live. And then, of course, I hated the play that he got hurt on because he should have just given up on the play. I just think the most frustrating part of this as a fan is that it looked like Marcus Mariota's played better. I know Jaden's better, but Marcus Mariota has played better right now, and that drives everybody crazy.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a little bit to be expected from that almost, you know, and it was a conversation I had when Marcus first had to come in for Jaden, is that in some ways the offense could actually run better with Marcus because his level of experience shows in his play, his level of decisiveness shows in his play when he becomes a runner, and his ability to use the entirety of the field. You know, that's something every young quarterback, I think, in the history of the NFL goes through a period of time. Like, Andrew Luck may have been the only one in recent memory I can think of. They all go through a period of time where people criticize them or just question even, when is he going to learn to use the entire field, right? Like, right-handed quarterbacks lean to the right side, left-handed quarterbacks lean to the left side, sprinkle a little bit in the middle, but outside of, like, one redesigned, you know, passes to their weak side, they don't usually go that way. And that's a big part of Jaden's, you know, development. And that's something that, you know, if we go back to even last year, as successful as the team was overall, the Terry McLaurin questions of, like, Jaden doesn't really throw to the left, but you only line up Terry McLaurin to the left. So how are you going to use your best weapon, understanding who your quarterback is? And those are questions that Cliff had to answer then. They're questions he still has to answer now. And that's where you see, I think, a good difference from Marcus Mariota. But that's a young quarterback thing. It's not for nothing, but I mean, Minnesota fans were, I mean, they were ready to just completely sell on JJ McCarthy coming into yesterday. But I've seen many fans and media members throwing out his throw chart because he was spreading the ball all over the field yesterday. And people were like, oh, man, like suddenly J.J. McCarthy knows how to throw to the left side of the field. And, you know, so again, it's not just Jaden. It's not just J.J. Like, you know, it's a young quarterback thing. The faster they can get through that, the better. And that's where you would hope to see some of that progression. But again, you know, without getting too deep into it in this forum, like, is there enough time to really get him there? Even if you see glimpses of it, is it enough to actually develop muscle memory before the offseason? Because once the offseason comes, like, not for nothing, but you never see Instagram clips of quarterbacks out there throwing against blitzing defenses in the offseason, right? So, like, how much of that is really going to stick moving into the offseason and then before next year?
When your starting quarterback has a below 50% completion percentage and he's constantly under duress because of the blitzes, yeah. Is that Cliff getting the play called wrong or Jaden not identifying the blitz beaters? I tend to think that Cliff is a great play caller, and just like he had a great game plan last week, I think he had a great game plan for this week. We just didn't have anybody execute it. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of both. Like, can you say that Cliff's game plan gave the passing game opportunities to make plays? Sure. You absolutely can. But his job doesn't stop there. You know what I mean? Like, his job is also to understand the flow of the team, understand the flow of the game, and make adjustments as you go. And, you know, I just go back to that very first possession, to be quite honest with you. And Chris Rodriguez, I think, got four carries on that first drive, maybe three, whatever it was. It was three or four carries on that first drive, and he's averaging over 8 yards per carry on that first drive. The first down, first and goal play that they get from the 4-yard line, he gains 2 yards, puts you at the 2-yard line. The dude just gained you 2 yards. You need 2 more yards to score a touchdown, answer the Minnesota Vikings opening drive touchdown, get a first drive touchdown, which is something that this team has not done a lot of this season. And look, if you want to get cute on second down and try to get Brandon Coleman open on a trick play, okay, got it. But third or fourth down, you should be going back to the well that got you there, right? Like, you hear the cliche, dance with the devil that got you there or whatever. Well, Chris Rodriguez was that devil on that first drive. And when they had the opportunity to punch it in from 2 yards out, instead of looking at their O-line and rewarding them for getting those lanes open for Chris, instead of rewarding the running back for getting down there, you know, Cliff just went pass happy with it and said, I want to get Jaden Daniels a touchdown pass come hell or high water. And, you know, I mean, basically both came and you got burned and you drowned all in the same time. And then, you know, the defense isn't doing you any favors on the other side of the ball either. But that's part of the offensive coordinator's job as well. It's not, you can't just come up with a game plan and say, this is what I think we could execute against this defense, and we're just going to try to do that to our own demise. You have to understand the flow of the game. You have to understand what's going on. Chris Rodriguez averaging what he was averaging and getting only 5 carries in the first half. I know they only had a few possessions because of the Vikings' historic 12-minute possession. But at the end of the day, when you have a running back running the ball for over 7 yards a carry in the first half, like, there's no reason you shouldn't be looking at that and say, okay, we need to use this. Especially, Adam, when you're going up against the 23rd ranked rushing defense in the NFL, but you're going up against one of the best passing defenses and best pass rushing defenses in the NFL. Like, it just felt to me that Cliff got Jaden, Terry, Noah, and Deebo all on the field at the same time, and he said, I'm going to wind this toy up and I'm going to let it go. And when it crashed into the wall, he just let it keep spinning instead of fixing it.
Yeah. It's frustrating. I mean, my only counter is I think Brandon Coleman was open and Jaden kind of got scared to throw it or didn't set his feet, because I kind of think that play fake worked, but it's just – and I saw that same thing from Jaden all game where he just – his footwork was not right.
No, there's definitely stuff for Jaden. You know, he was late on an out route to Noah Brown before the fourth down interception that would have converted the first down, and that play doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
McLaurin
you
was also wide open on that
McLaurin,
play.
Yeah, McLaurin's inside in that – you know what I mean? And he's in the same vision, you know, sphere of vision. So you can say all those things. But again, like the quarterback has the – everybody has a responsibility. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, like I said, Cliff is supposed to be the one on the sideline, and your job is to recognize, like, man, like, my quarterback's not seeing the field. He's not seeing these open receivers. What is working right now? What is not working right now? And let me shift instead of just, like I said, banging your head up against the wall, hoping for the pain to go away.
Yeah. It's Misery Monday for sure. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Let's open up to callers now. What did you guys see in the blowout loss to Minnesota 31-0? Did you see a quarterback that kind of failed like I did? I mean, I still love Jaden Daniels. He's still my franchise quarterback. But this was a huge step back for him. It was. And we've seen this before. I just don't think he got a full week of prep to get ready. Like, he was not full on, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday's practice. Then it trended towards him being full and ready to roll. What did he have his mistakes on last year? Those short weeks. That's why I think it's so important that he plays in this turnaround week against the Eagles and then Christmas against the Cowboys, because I think his worst performances have been on quick turnaround. I think he needs the practice. He needs the extra reps. Like Dan Quinn and Cliff talked about last year, Jaden would seek out the extra reps on the practice field with his guys. I think he needs the extra reps because he's playing like a rookie right now. Still a rookie, I believe, in. But, man, that was not a good performance at all, and the injury makes it seem like, man, should he have actually been out there? Phone lines are open. What did you guys think? 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Snap to Daniels here on a 2nd and 6. Time throws over the middle, and that's his first strike. That finds Terry McLaurin out near the 45-yard line, and the Commanders are on the move.
Yeah, that's a great job by Jaden, just taking his time and looking off the defense and finding the soft spot in that cover two, kind of a honey hole shot. It starts with the protection. The offensive line picked up the protection against the blitz by the Minnesota Vikings. Easy throw and catch.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for those Commanders coverage in town. You hear the game on The Fan. That was Bram Weinstein, London Fletcher. The highlights all came from the first drive of the game. And, you know, I do feel like this happens a lot in the NFL where a play completely changes momentum and it's so hard to kind of get the train back on the tracks after that. A lot of times, though, you know, the momentum in an NFL game flips 3 or 4 times. And it might take a quarter, it might take a half, but eventually you flip it. And in this game, Sunday, to the Minnesota Vikings, Washington executed on their first drive. And you heard David Harrison talk about it. They had something with Chris Rodriguez on the ground. And Jaden was striking it, right? He fired into McLaurin. He fired it into Debo, into Zach Ertz. They get down to the 2-yard line. And they throw, and they throw, and they throw. And Debo's open, and it goes right through his hands. And he dropped it, and they dropped the game. There was no response from that. There was no bounce back from that. They lost momentum on the 4th and goal, in which, look, if you wanted them to kick the field goal there, you're probably right. Because we didn't even score in the freaking game, right? But they got aggressive, like they have been all season long, and all the time that Dan Quinn's been here. And to be honest, I hated the 3rd down play more than the 4th down play. Debo's open, Jaden threw it in, he dropped it. But there was no response from that. No response. The headline on the Washington Post today, from bad to worse. That's exactly what it felt like watching that game. All right, Jaden Daniels in the QB review here. Look, I'm going to caveat everything by saying Jaden's still my franchise quarterback. No, I would not consider drafting another quarterback next year. Yes, I still want to play him throughout the rest of this season because he looks lost out there. I tweeted, are you more concerned in Jaden's injury or the way he played? And I got millions of responses, it felt like. I'm sorry, but I'm disappointed that my guy got outplayed by J.J. McCarthy. That's what we all saw. Jaden Daniels needs his legs to be special, but he can't rely on them. And that was his first game in a while. He looked rusty, and he looked like his rookie year self early in the season when he gets fight or flight and he flies the coop. He leaves. He does not stay in the pocket. He runs 4 carries for 16 yards. He was scared. And why is he scared? Well, Jaden probably knows that a big hit on his elbow was not going to feel good. That's part of the reason why he was avoiding contact. Number two, the NFL game is so difficult and it moves at such an elite speed. And when you've missed time, you're missing everything. And part of that is identifying where the blitz are coming from. And he just could not figure that out for the life of him. The entire game that he was playing out there, the Vikings were showing pressure. And they would either back off or send the pressure. And he didn't know. He really didn't know. And that's why I think David's right that he pushed back. Like, part of that is on your offense coordinator. Like, hey, your quarterback's struggling out there. Max protect. He needs time. Run the ball more. He needs time. And they did that a little bit later on, but it just didn't work. They tried to throw a ton. It makes sense. Why are you playing Jaden in these games? To get him going. So you're going to throw the ball more than you're going to run to create momentum for next season. Just didn't work. You know, it was one of those things where I'm wondering, can we get the train back on the tracks? No, it was off the tracks. It was lost, and it burned yesterday. You know, one of the worst performances of Jaden's career and definitely the worst overall team performance of the Dan Quinn era. It was ugly, and it was awful. And the Vikings looked good, and I know they're not good. Their record, it's not just their record that says they're not good. It's the fact that like they didn't even need to use their best weapon to beat us. They didn't even need to use Justin Jefferson. 2 catches for 11 yards. Are you freaking kidding me? He destroys teams around the NFL. They were like, no, we're going to use speedy Jalen Naylor because of the fact that Washington's slow on the outside. And they knew that, right? Oh, we're going to use Jordan Addison and his speed. They took advantage of Mikey Sainer still all game long. He looked awful. They took advantage of Quan Martin. They took advantage of Jonathan Jones, Noah I, everybody on our defense. I mean, there was just nothing good from this game. F's all across the board for the coaching staff, for the players, offense, defense, and special teams. Everybody gets an F. Everybody failed. Every single body failed. It was awful. I mean, I'm watching that game, and I'm hating being a Commanders fan. Like, I wanted to not watch the NFL ever again. I wanted to burn everything that I have that's Washington gear and just rinse myself from this stupid, stupid team. I hate everything about them, what I watch. There was no fight. There was no effort. It looked like Dan Quinn had lost the locker room. Where do we go from here? Has our coach lost the locker room? Has our quarterback lost the plot? Has our OC and our DC given up and moved on to their next job? That's what it seemed like. The worst loss of the Dan Quinn era, not even close. 31-0, just completely dominated. Like David said, a historic 12-minute drive allowed by this defense to a below-average offense. And an offense for Washington that was stuck in the mud from the first possession of the game where they missed that fourth down conversion to the final whistle of this game. They could not get going. I mean, I'm going to check this right now. Because as a team, we were below 200 yards. We had 83 yards on the first drive. 83! And we finished with 206 for the game. We basically moved the ball the entire game in that first drive, and that was it. After that, we couldn't do anything. Third downs, 3 of 10. Fourth downs, 1 of 3. I mean, just a garbage performance from start to finish. And, of course, the conversation today is going to revolve around Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn will speak to the media today at 3:30. I love Jaden. I will love him to death. He's my favorite player on the team. And as I said, the only thing that was missing in the Broncos game was getting Jaden back. And we got him back. But he didn't look good. And he looked like maybe he shouldn't have been out there. And you got to wonder why the coaching staff put him out there. Like, we go back to the conversation Michael Phillips and I had about RG3. Why did RG3's career get derailed in Washington? There was not an adult in the room. Jaden Daniels, doesn't seem like there's an adult in the room right now, right? I mean, we all talked about it. If Jaden Daniels is healthy, he needs to play because he needs the reps, he needs the experience. All of that is true. Was Jaden actually healthy, right? What do you consider healthy? I don't consider falling once on your elbow and you're out for a game healthy. I really don't. He's wearing some kind of pad on his arm that constantly had to get adjusted. He should not have played in that game because he was not healthy. The answer is not he shouldn't have played in that game because the season's over and there's nothing to play for. The answer is he shouldn't have played in that game because one hit knocked him out. One hit in a game in which he's going to take 15 to 20 hits every single game. Because he puts himself in harm's way. Like I said, I hated the play in which he ran and then he dove forward. And we saw that multiple times. He was getting hit. He got rocked in one of the plays where he kind of cut between two defenders. And luckily he was all right when he got up. But then he threw the interception. And everybody that was watching that game that's an NFL insider saying, you cannot throw a screen with that guy on the outside. Why? Because he does that to everybody. And they did. So it was like the offensive coordinator let the quarterback down, and the quarterback let his team down, and that's what we watched. Just an awful performance. He needs to come back this season, start a game, play a game, finish the game, stay healthy. He's got to squash all the conversations about him being injury prone. He's got to play. But he's got to be able to take a hit and not be out for the game. Could they have put him back in? We don't know. Well, I guess hear from Dan Quinn at 3:30 here today. I want to know how bad that injury was. Did he re-dislocate it? That's what it kind of felt like. Watching it live, it looked like a guy that re-dislocated his elbow, and then the answer is easily, yeah, don't put him back in if he dislocated it again. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.